We're going to talk about the baby that came as the Prince of Peace. We'll take a look at Isaiah, starting in Isaiah 9. But anyway, we want to talk about the Prince of Peace. And there's a verse that you're familiar with that we want to look at in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. And it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." So today when I was talking at Children's Church, we talked a little about the gifts that God gives that no money can buy. And so I wanted to talk about peace today and what that peace means. Is that when you look up, if you look up on your computer, if you look up the great oracle of the 21st century, if you go to the Google, you can find definitions of what peace is. But one definition that you'll see there is a state of tranquility or of stillness, an absence of war or hostility. If we look at the ancient Hebrew scriptures, you'll see a word that's used in your Bible called shalom. Shalom has a more broader meaning or a bigger, more contextual meaning, which means to be complete or to be whole. I'll take any of those definitions. But Jesus Christ does come to make us whole and to complete us. And we see these verses, or this verse in Isaiah 9 that projects that prophecy 800 years out. So this prophecy was given about 800 years before the birth of Christ. And to continue in that same vein, in verse 7 of Isaiah 9, it says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." Are you ready for that kingdom? That's the kingdom that Jesus Christ builds. And God condescends and comes to us in the form of a small child that we heard about today. And a baby does change everything. I wanted to take some time to look over in another verse. And we want to look at Acts 36. And the first point I want to make, sorry about that, Kevin, if you can go back. The first point I want to make is God sends a son as a means of peace. And we look at Acts chapter 10, verse 36. And it says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." So we come here, we spend much of our life and our adult life trying to find peace, don't we? Perhaps peace with our neighbor, peace with our family, peace with our wife or husbands. I started meddling then instead of preaching. I didn't mean to poke you that hard. But anyway, sometimes we're looking for that peace. We want to talk about even a peace beyond that, a peace that not only extends in this world, but also in the kingdom of heaven. So not only in the kingdom of earth can we experience peace, but the kingdom of heaven. And so we see that it is God who sends Jesus Christ as a means of peace. There is no gift that you or I can give, or no gift that you and I can receive this season that can compare to the gift of what God gives us through his Son. The Son brings us perfect peace only a creator can give. So this is a gift that God extends to us. This is a gift that he talks about in Isaiah. This is the gift he talks about in Acts that we just got through reading. That this is the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is a peace that comes outside of us. This is a peace that no one can take away, because it's a peace that comes outside of our world. It comes from God. And it is a peace that is given to us as a free gift from Jesus Christ. It's the one that gives it, the one of the world, and it's a gift that cannot be stolen. It's a gift that won't fade away. It's a gift that no one can take from you. It's a gift that you won't lose. It's my kind of gift. It's my kind of gift. Every gift I can have received, I still have my football up here. I don't know where my original Nerf football is, but I've lost, or it's disintegrated. Entropy has taken over, and the gift has gone from order to disorder. It's fallen apart. And so this is the gift that God gives, and he gives to us, and it's a gift of Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. Now, you may ask yourself, is that, well, I feel pretty peaceful without Jesus Christ. But what you have to realize is that the second point I want to make here is that our sins keeps us from the peace of God. It is the sin that keeps us from the peace of God. We are naturally at odds with God. We are born into our trespasses and sin. We're born far apart from God. And so we need a Prince of Peace. We need a Savior. If we look at Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians, at verse 19 and 20. We will see here, it says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things of the earth or things in heaven." So it says here that it's God's good pleasure, that he is pleased, that he dwells in his fullness. The fullness of him dwells in Jesus Christ, and that he has reconciled all things on earth and all things on heaven have been reconciled to Christ. And that we are at peace with him. But why are we at peace with him? It says here, we're at peace with him because of the shed blood of Christ. So my trust is not in a baby in the manger. That's the means that God comes from. But that baby in the manger, one day destination is the cross. And it's that shed blood of Jesus Christ that I put my faith in, that I can experience now, the Prince of Peace that we sing about at Christmas time. This peace that was given to us while the world was in turmoil. Is our world in turmoil today? Some places we find the world in turmoil, don't we? But we see Jesus Christ come to us. We saw him come to us 2,000 years ago so that he can address that turmoil. Sometimes that turmoil is not on the outside of us, is it? That turmoil is on the inside of us. And we can't find the solution on the inside of us. We have to find the solution on the outside of us. And the solution on the outside of us is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's the one who brings the peace in the turmoil. Now, this peace is freely given. It is a gift given to us by God. But it is not a free. It was not, the price of it was not free. The price of it was very expensive. The price was paid by the blood of the innocent. The price was paid by the Prince of Peace. We read about a parable, and I should have looked it up, but there's a parable that Jesus talks about, and talks about how he's at odds with somebody, and he sends his messenger out there to tell him, a messenger, and he kills his messenger and said, "Surely I'll send him a son, and he'll listen to my son," and they also killed his son. We see that parable that points towards Jesus Christ, as God came and gave his message through prophets like Isaiah, and gave his message through John the Baptist, and surely they'll receive my message, surely they will hear from me, I will send my son, and I will send them Jesus Christ. And we celebrate the sending of Jesus Christ this time of year in the form of Christmas. But you see that son that brought that message to the people, you see how he was treated. You see that they put him on a cross. But without that cross and without that shed blood, I cannot experience the peace that this prince brings. So first we see God sends a son as a means of peace. Second, we see that our sins keeps us from the peace of God. And third, we see that Jesus died for our trespasses and sins so we can have peace with God. We're going to look at Romans. We're going to look at the fifth chapter of Romans. Romans is a great book, and you get into tall weeds pretty quick when you get to Romans, can't you? Well, we're going to take a look at Romans 5, the first couple of verses there. And it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope and the glory of God." I'm going to check my translations here. It says up there, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's Jesus Christ that brings us peace. So it's Jesus Christ that God sends to us as the Prince of Peace we see in a small manger. But we have to realize as the manger points us towards the cross, and that our sin is what keeps us from the peace of God that he gives us. And that in this verse, when we look at Romans 5, we see that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and God sends his Son to save us. It talks about here is that we're justified by faith, or justified by believing in Jesus Christ. So we talked earlier about, when I talked about a definition of peace, is we talked about this idea of shalom, or being whole, or being complete. And Jesus Christ is the part that you're looking for that will complete you. We are in need of this Savior. And it is through the Prince of Peace, and through that peace that he makes us whole, that we can be saved. So it talks about that we're justified by faith, that we're made whole by God in Romans 5, and that if we boast, that we boast in the hope. That we boast in the hope of the Son of God, and that's in the last part of 2. We exalt our hope, or our hope is in the glory of God. So we see Jesus Christ coming to us as a Prince of Peace, and we see Jesus as our object and perfecter of our faith. We also see Jesus as the one that we wish to worship, because he is worthy of our worship. So we come, but we don't. We come to Jesus through the manger, but we kneel at the cross. And it's the cross that saves us. It is the redemptive work on the cross that saves us and justifies us and brings us peace. And it is our job to repent and believe and find the peace that is beyond all understanding. There's many of us that are looking for peace today. We try to find it in all sorts of ways. There are four things we talked about in Sunday school, if I can remember them rightly. There's four things that we worship, and I think it's the condition of man that we worship this. I've been guilty of this, and I dare say that you've been guilty of this, but there's four things that we worship as a condition of man that we think will bring peace. And these four things that we worship are beauty, or brawn, or brains, and our billfolds. Those are the four things we worship. We worship beauty. We think somehow if we were to find beauty, either by worshiping somebody who's beautiful, or by worshiping nature, or by worshiping things that are created rather than the Creator, we'll find peace. But you'll find out that that peace won't last. That peace will go away. We also want to worship brawn. We worship strength. I don't mean LeBron, but LeBron is an idea of brawn. But we worship athletes. Any Saturday or Sunday, we can watch sports on TV. And we worship and we exalt those guys. We believe in those guys. We root for our teams, Cowboys. But we worship brawn, don't we? And we think we'll find peace in that. We think our team will bring us joy and peace. And that's not true. The other thing we look at is we look at brains. Sometimes we feel like, well, maybe we just don't know enough. Maybe we need to worship the intellect. And I don't mean the intellect like and the wisdom that God gives, but I mean the intellect that man worships. We think somehow if we understand the origins of the universe, if we understand and study physics enough, or we study science and those type of things, is that God will be revealed in the science. And so we worship brains or intellect, and we think we'll find peace there. But sometimes we find that that's an empty, tortuous, dangerous journey sometimes. And then the other thing we worship is we worship billfolds. Now, we don't carry money anymore. We carry credit cards, but it's usually in your billfold. But a lot of times we feel like, well, maybe we'll find satisfaction. Maybe we'll find peace. Maybe we'll find joy. Maybe we'll find hope. Maybe we'll find love through the worship of the billfold. Has anybody found that to be true? It may not be happiness, but you can rent it for a while if you got a billfold. But usually when the billfold gets smaller, our peace goes away, doesn't it? So I challenge you today to look towards Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, to find your peace. That peace that not only that we'll find in our earthly realm, but also the peace that we'll find in a heavenly realm, because it is the blood of Christ that has made it right with God. I can boldly go before the throne of God, not because of anything I've done, not because of any work I've done, but because of my faith, my trust in the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. So when I sing about Jesus in the manger, when I sing these wonderful Christmas songs and the memories rush back, the memories I had as a little kid, the memories I've had raising my kids, the memory I'll have one day with my grandkids, hopefully, is all those memories rush back to me. But really, the manger points towards the cross, and it points to the redemptive work of Christ and who Jesus Christ is and how we are to rightly relate to him. Thank God that my salvation is based on the redemptive work of Christ and not the work of Todd, but the work of God. So I'm thankful for that. If I were to give you a prayer today, it would go something like this. This is something I wrote here. This time of year, we speak about a baby king born in a manger, but we must go beyond the manger to the cross. The cross that takes away the sin. The cross that allows me to bow at the nail-scored feet of the Prince of Peace. My only right standing with God, with the Father, is kneeling at the cross, where the shed blood of an innocent king removed my sin, and I am allowed to sit at the king's table because of the ransom paid for by the only one whose blood was shed on my behalf, and whose blood was worthy on my behalf, so that I might find hope, peace, love, and joy this Christmas.